Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right, all right.
You're gonna learn today. Alright, alright, alright. You're gonna learn today.
Alright, 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 alright. Shalom, good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of ISBHBK Presents Bible Talk. It's your guy. It's that dude, Mashaba. Welcome. Well, you might be listening to us live on through our live streaming phone call that you can call into, conference call, 646-668-2568. All of you might be checking us out through either the www.blogtalkradio.com podcast. I'm sorry, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mashaba. Blog talk that we have going on, that's been our platform for the past 12 years. Or you might be catching us on Apple iTunes podcast, on iHeartRadio podcast, on Google podcast, or Podcast Addict. Welcome. Welcome once again to our show. Today, brothers and sisters, I'm just going to tell you straight up. It has been a battle. It's been a real battle. I don't want to get you too deep into it. I want to finish up this series today that we started a while ago in dealing with the nation of Israel, taking a look at our history and dealing with the fact of when there was no king in Israel and every man did that what was right in his own eyes. My last class that I was actually able to do, I believe I had my son here with me, my son, my daughter. We just covered Judges chapter 19 and chapter 20 and the war that finally, the civil war that had finally popped off between the Hebrews, the nation of Israel, and the Benjamites behind the wickedness that had taken place of the Levite concubines, the Levite who had a concubine that was raped to death. And that, as well as the other wickedness that was taking place within Israel, as far as, again, everybody only doing what was right in their own eyes. And to the stealing of priests, the stealing of monies, the stealing of making ephods, when once was making ephods, making altars, not looking out for each other, being extremely selfish, to where not even making sure that the Danites, that they received their land, because everybody just was making sure that they was good, they were straight. And again, everybody just doing what was right in their own eyes. That it got extreme. Brother and sister, it got extreme. Like how it does with Israelites. We take things to the extreme. To the point, again, culminating with finally this, the Civil War, where some of the numbers briefly that of the deaths, you know, that on the first day it was 22,000 Israelites. The next day it was 18,000 Israelites of the tribes outside of Benjamin that was put to death, that the Most High had killed. That right there, brothers and sisters, is 40,000 men of the Israelites, of the 400,000 man army that came up against the Benjamites. 40,000 was put to death. That's 10%. That's 10% of Israelites that was killed in this civil war with the Benjamites. And then they come back down and then we read about on the following day, there was another 30 of the Israelites that was killed on the day after the fast, that another 30 Israelites was put to death. But then, what was it, 26,000, 25,000 Benjamites? And those are just the men of war. Let me make sure I get this in order now so we can understand this slaughter, understand what was happening. That 25,000 soldiers that drew arms of the Benjamites, they were slaughtered and put to death. So just in numbers-wise, we're looking at, 40 plus another 25,000. That's 65,000 Israelite soldiers that now have been put to death, men of war that have been put to death because everybody was only doing that what was right in their own eyes. But now let's add there's no way to add these numbers up, but we know that from the cities of Gibeah and all the Benjamite cities, that was only 600 men remaining of the Benjamites. That in the Benjamite cities outside of Gibeah, and Gibeah, we know that everybody in Gibeah was put to death. Children, women, old men, old women, they were Benjamites, they were slaughtered inside the city of Gibeah. Then for all the other Benjamite cities that was around Gibeah in the land or the territory of Benjamin, we read where the Israelites, we went into those cities of our brothers, of other Israelites, and we slaughtered men, women, and children in those cities as well. And we don't have the numbers on that. We don't have the numbers on that. But to where it was clearly, there was only 600 men remaining of the tribe of Benjamin. I know a lot of times, as many times as I've gone over this story, gone over this history, it was hard for me to conceptualize that the Most High had men, women, and children put to death also, had them slaughtered as well, of Benjamin, to where why it was so significant that only 600 men remained of the tribe of Benjamin, and that why there was a need to have to search out wives for them, because all their wives and all their children were killed. They were put to death behind, again, everybody doing what was right in their own eyes. Everybody being their own governor. Everybody being their own sovereign citizen. Everybody only working on their fields, their crops, their acquiring more wealth, their selfishness, their greed among Israelites. And then for the men of Jabesh-Gilead, that Jabesh-Gilead was among the land of the territory of the half-tribe of Manasseh. Remember, Manasseh had gotten land on the other side of Jordan before coming into the Promised Land, and then they had that small territory inside the land of Canaan, which became Palestine, that they had a settlement there. And because when all Israel came together to deal with the wickedness that was being confronted with Benjamin, they decided, I'm not a part of that. Y'all handle that. That's not me. For whatever was going on, I got too much business going on. I got too much crops I got to raise. I got too much money to count. That's not my problem. That's not my business. I'm not dealing with that. That 12,000 Israelites went to Jabesh-Gilead and slaughtered that territory of Manassites, which today would be so-called Cubans. For feeling like, you know, I'm not going to get involved with that mess, that madness. I got my own business. None of your business. I'm only sticking with me and mine or whatever. And the Most High had that, you know, when we go to Amos, let me pull that scripture up real quick. When we go to Amos, that is what I want. Chapter 3. Amos chapter 3, verse 6, it says, shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall it be evil in a city, and the Lord has not done it? So for all these cities of Benjamin that has a slaughter that took place, they have all the cities of Jabesh-Gilead, they have that slaughter that took place. They have over, what was it? What it being 65,000 men of the army slaughtered? That was the Most High. That was the Most High's judgment. That was the Lord doing all that because of all the wickedness that we as Israelites had chose to give ourselves over to, just in pleasing ourselves. And knowing, like James told us, that the scripture says in vain, that the spirit that lies within us, lusts us to envy, that it's just never enough. It's just we have to always have more. And we're never comfortable. We're never satisfied. And if you look at the nation of Israel, from our inception in Egypt on up, that we've never been satisfied. We're like a bunch of spoiled kids, a bunch of spoiled brats, that for everything the Lord did do, and it is a little bit upsetting to see myself in this light, that for everything the Lord does, I can still find something to complain about. If everything the Lord does, I can find something to bitch about and complain about and be like, well, God, if you really love me, you did that, and that's cool and everything, but if you really love me, if you really know my heart, if you really want to get close to me, want to get next to me, then you should be doing this for me. You should be doing that. And it's never an appreciation for what the Most High has done for us. It's never an appreciation for he did pick us. Out of all the nations, he chose the nation of Israel. He didn't have to. And it's like we constantly have this war. We constantly have this battle with God about, God, you don't love God, you don't love me because you don't give me what I want. Which seems absolutely ridiculous, ludicrous, whatever other words you want to come up with to think about, that how dare are people, how unappreciative and the audacity what the people have that you're in dealing with the creator of the universe, creator of life, creator of everything, that we feel we have the right to have this attitude towards him. And that, God, if you really want to show me love, this, God, this is how you show me love. And that for us, that God's supposed to just, if we say, God, I love you, by our words, he's supposed to take that and run with it. He's supposed to appreciate the fact that we said, God, I love you. When our actions show we can't stand God, but we expect him, now that he's supposed to jump through hoops, like he hasn't already, to show his love to us. I mean, God destroyed nations. God destroyed nations. He gave us cities that the work of other men's hands and what they did. And he chose us. And for all the attitude and all the evil and all the wickedness that we keep showing the Most High, the Lord, he still keeps picking us. God told Moses, look, I'll raise up rocks that will appreciate and worship me. Move out the way. I'm going to smite all these people. That we, the nation of Israel, we really do have a problem with God. That's why it says in Thessalonians that he that despises not man, but the Most High. That we really have a problem with the Most High. We have to submit to his rules, his way of doing things, that we really just don't want to do it. That we really have our own agendas, our own goals, our own fantasies, our own delusions that we have set up in our minds so strong that we really hate God. We really do. But I wanted to finish up this class today, this series, this part of the series today. Let's go to Judges chapter 21 and verse 1. Let's go to the book of Judges chapter 21 and verse 1. And again, and that brief recap once again, this is after the Civil War, and we're looking at what? The 40,000 for the first 2 days. Add another 25,000, that's 65,000. And then add, we don't know the numbers of those that were killed in Jabesh Gilead. I can only imagine it would say 10,000 there. 35,000 people dead now? Soldiers are dead. Soldiers are dead. Not counting the women, the children, not counting the old men, the old women that were old. Not counting those numbers because we don't even have those numbers. And remember now, in catch up with the timeline, that it took 4 months. That after after those first 3 days of the Israelites getting killed, going against Benjamin, then Benjamin getting handed his ass to him, that if there was a time of 4 months that the Benjamites were hiding on the rock of Rimmon, R-I-M-M-O-N, Rimmon. So we're in Judges chapter 21, verse 1. Judges chapter 21, verse 1. It says, "Now the men of Israel had sworn in Mizpah, saying, there shall not any of us give his daughter unto Benjamin to wife." Now remember, well, and that's Judges chapter 19 and 20, where the Israelites made a vow that upon meeting up with the Levite who had to cut his concubine up and send her, mail her body to the different territories of the Israelites. And when everybody met up at Mizpah and heard what happened, that there was just an immediate reaction, an immediate emotional reaction that, what? They killed a Levite's concubine? Oh, hell no. We'll never give our daughters to marry one of these niggas. To marry one of these, they didn't say niggas, but they said Ben and Bilal. That's never going to happen then. Out of straight, just raw emotion. And you know how weird it is what you get. We go overboard. We got to prove how you know, we've all been doing our negative, but now we got to really blow the spot up and blow the scene up and point out just how wicked and how devious and how debaucherous and how over the top these Benjamites were in the city of Gibeah, that to prove my righteousness and to prove just how righteous I am, man, I'll never give my daughter to one of these heathen, to one of these Cretans. And everybody's like, yeah, you know, in that mob mentality. So all that is passed. Most of them kicked our butts for a minute. We got a lot of death on both sides. And now it's like, all right, cool. Damn. It's been 4 months now. And now the thing is like, damn, we don't want the other tribe of Israel. There's only 600 men left. But we made a vow that we would never give our daughters to any Benjamites. This really is at the brink of wiping out a tribe of the nation of Israel. Verse 2, Judges chapter 20, verse 2. "And the people came to the house of God and abode there till even before God, and lifted up their voices and wept sore, and said, O Lord God of Israel, the power of Israel, why has this come to pass in Israel that there should be today one tribe lacking in Israel? And it came to pass on the morrow that the people rose early and burnt there and built there an altar and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the children of Israel said, who is there among all the tribes of Israel that came not up with the congregation unto the Lord? For they had made a great oath concerning him that came not up to the Lord to Mizpah, saying, he shall surely be put to death. Verse 6, and the children of Israel repented them for Benjamin, their brother, and said, there is one tribe cut off from Israel this day. Verse 7, Judges chapter 21, verse 7. How shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give them our daughters to wives? Now remember, at this time, it's finally being understood how pissed off the Most High had gotten, that we have totally gotten off the worship of the Most High. We had totally got to the point where we were still just into serving ourselves. Serving the Most High didn't come to mind. As far as our vows, our oaths, our obedience to the Most High, that we had been done with that. So that making this vow to the Most High, that he gave us his victory, that we would not give any of our daughters to the Benjamites, similar to what Christ warned us, that every idle word that thou speakest, thou shalt be judged, and thou shalt be condemned. And that if you vow the vow, go ahead and say to pay it. So after all the slaughter that's been taking place, They're like, no, we made this vow. We're not going to, at this time, go back on our vow to the Most High. Not at this time. He just killed, what, 65,000 men? And we're going to come back and now, just that quick, we're going to just come and break our word now? No, we got going with something. But let's keep reading. Verse 8. And they said, what one is there of the tribes of Israel that came not up to Mizpah to the Lord? And behold, there came none to the camp from Jabesh Gilead to the assembly. For the people were numbered, and behold, there was none of the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead there. I mean, when we did the research, Jabesh Gilead was a city in the territory of Manasseh on this side of Jordan. Verse 10. And the congregation sent thither 12,000 men of the valiantest and commanded them, saying, go and smite the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead with the edge of the sword, with the women and the children. Y'all hear this? With the women and the children. Because y'all didn't come up. All of a sudden, so family business, family matters, and y'all ain't got to come up here? I bet. Take 12,000 of the strongest soldiers that are alive, send them up there. Kill the women and the children. Verse 11. And this is the thing that ye shall do. Ye shall utterly destroy every male and every woman that hath lain by man. And they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead 400 young virgins that had known no man by laying with any male. And they brought them unto the camp to Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. And we're talking about now Manasseh. So today, this would be so-called Cuban. Today, that would be so-called Cubans. Beautiful people, beautiful tribe. So 400 Manassites that would be so-called Cubans that were virgins. I said, bring these 400 virgins. Have you killed everybody? Bring these virgins now. Bring them here. Verse 13. And the whole congregation sent some to speak to the children of Benjamin that were in the rock Ramon, and to call peaceably unto them. And Benjamin came again at that time, and they gave them wives, which they had saved alive of the women of Jabesh Gilead. And yet, so they sufficed them not. They weren't enough. You only have 400 women here, but there were 600 men. And obviously, we're not going to need threesomes. Obviously, we're going to begin to the Manasseh tribes. The last thing on the mind right now is that this is going to be just for some pleasure. No, they had to repopulate a whole tribe. So what about these other 200 men? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? There's not enough women for them to marry. Verse 15. And the people repented them for Benjamin because that the Lord had made a breach in the tribes of Israel. The Most High was pissed. Verse 16. Then the elders of the congregation said, how shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing the women are destroyed out of Benjamin? Y'all hear this? That the women were destroyed out of Benjamin. So for you, a lot of women take on this mentality that, oh, that's between y'all men. That's between y'all. It ain't nothing to do with me. Don't bring none of that madness over here. I ain't trying to get involved with that. That's y'all. I'm just working on my thing. I'm just doing me. That's for y'all. Cool. So y'all ain't addressing nothing either. Y'all felt like you was cool that you could just not say anything. You could run your mouth and complain about everything else. But when it came to this, now all of a sudden you amongst the word, now you in order. Now you humble. Nah. A lot of women got put to death of all the tribe of Benjamin. All right, verse 17, and they said, there must be an inheritance for them that be escaped of Benjamin, that a tribe be not destroyed out of Israel. Howbeit, we may not give them wives of our daughters, for the children of Israel have sworn, saying, cursed be he that giveth a wife to Benjamin. Verse 19. Then they said, behold, there is a feast of the Lord in Shiloh yearly, in a place which is on the north side of Bethel, and on the east side of the highway that goeth up from Bethel to Shechem, and on the south of Lebanon. Now, remember from Leviticus chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, it tells us that three times in a year shall all the males appear. Let me get that real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 16. And this is what it says. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. In the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and there shall not appear, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord thy God, which he has given thee. All right. So this is one of the three high holy days where Israelites are commanded to come together. All Israelites are commanded to come together as a nation. These were national gatherings. These were national convocations where the whole nation had to gather together at one of being Shiloh or what have you. So they're saying, cool, we have one of these high holidays coming up, and this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to get some wives for the rest of our brothers. All right? Verse 20. Therefore, they commanded the children of Benjamin, saying, go and lie in wait in the vineyards. And see, and behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance in dances, then come ye out of the vineyards and catch you every man his wife of the daughters of Shiloh and go into the land of Benjamin. And it shall be when their fathers or their brethren come unto us to complain that we will say unto them, be favorable unto them for our sakes, because we reserved not to each man his wife in the war. For ye did not give unto them at this time that ye should be guilty. Just chill. Verse 23. And the children of Benjamin did so, and took them wives according to their number of them that danced, whom they caught, and returned into their inheritance and repaired the city and dwelt in them. Cool. So you had the 400 virgins that came from Jabesh Gilead, and then from this high holiday, this time, whichever feast it was, whether it was tabernacles, what was it? Unleavened bread, first fruits, or tabernacles, right? Yeah, Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks would be Pentecost, and then the Feast of Tabernacles. Whichever one of these that it was, cool. We gather together. You see the young virgins. Go ahead and take one. Y'all go back to Benjamin. Y'all got to rebuild. All right? Verse 24. And the children of Israel departed then at that time, every man to his tribe, and to his family. And they went out from thence, every man to his inheritance. So for this 4 months, nobody went home. All right? For this 4 months, nobody went home. Because that was the problem that helped lead up to this. That was part of the problem that led to this point. Everybody wanted to be home. Everybody wanted to be home just working on their, what you name it. And it wasn't about Israel. It wasn't about the Most High. What the Most High wanted is about, let me keep working on me. Let me keep working on my wealth, on my sustenance, on my pleasure. Let me keep working on my luxury. And remember, y'all can go back to the series. If not, real quick, go back to Antiquities of the Jews, Flavius Josephus, Antiquities of the Jews, Book 5, Chapter 2, and just read all that. There's like 12 paragraphs. We're going to read the last one tonight. starting at paragraph 2, go read how we got effeminate, how we got soft, how we got gay. And it was about everybody wanted to build up their wealth. Everybody wanted to build up their stockpile instead of keeping the laws of God. And I like to look at that because there's this thing now that somehow the work of the Most High means just take care of my family. I don't know where that entered in. I don't know what law that is. That's all the Most High wanted to be done is just for a man to get comfortable and take care of his family. I have not read that yet. But somehow that's become the mantra. And I already know, for those who got this far in the class, you can say, well, what about where it says, if a man wants to take care of his house, he's worse than an infidel. That's true. That scripture is there. And when you read that chapter in context, he wouldn't talk about a man. He's talking about a young widow woman before she turns to a little fast-ass, hussy hoe that she needs to learn how to keep her ass at home. When you go back and read the whole chapter. But I know I'm not supposed to go there. And then I'm not supposed to also bring out, you know, the Most High, also, the same man who told us about if a man doesn't take care of his house, he's worse than an infidel, is the same man who came back and said, the time is short. They both didn't have wives, be as though they had none. The same man who said, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. Well, Christ came back and said, if a man hate not his father, mother, sister, brother, wife, children, lands, houses, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So this thing that it's only about making sure you take care of your family and not doing what pleases God. Most High was taking care of the whole nation. From the time we came out of Egypt, when we thirsted, who gave us water? He did. We was hungry, who gave us manna from heaven? He did. When we was, that wasn't enough. We needed some meat. Who gave us the quail? He did. And all we had to do was what? Just listen to him every day. Obey him every day. Get up, go get the manna. Don't get greedy. Don't get selfish. Don't get overwise and collect extra. Unless it's the sixth day. Because y'all been in Egypt this whole time, and in Egypt, y'all got it on a 10-day work week, and y'all done plumb forgot about the 7-day work week. So cool. So I could train y'all like, you know, you do dogs. You know, they train those dogs like whenever they feed the dogs, they blow the whistle. So the dogs came to associate the whistle with food. And that was part of the training. But that was the Lord dealing with the nation of Israel, trying to train us. All right, here. Here, boy. Come here, y'all. Hey, come here. On the sixth day, you're going to get double because there's not going to be anything on the seventh day because I've got to be training y'all on the seven-day work week. No, don't go to work because, yes, in Egypt, yeah, on the seventh day, you was definitely at work. Now, I'm trying to retrain y'all that the seventh day, I have a seven-day work week. And the seventh is a day of rest in order to come together, in order to unite. Because remember how back in wicked Egypt, y'all having to pay y'all bills, y'all having to keep up with the cost of living, and Pharaoh went ahead and cut off government assistance, cut off all subsidies. So now remember how y'all had to go throughout all the land of Egypt, not just the city of Cairo. Remember how y'all had to go through the whole land of Egypt trying to find work, trying to find money so you could pay your bills, so you could get the cost of living, so y'all had no chance to come together. And remember, he came up with the idea that y'all wouldn't think about serving me. Y'all remember? Y'all remember? You remember? So let me train y'all. Let me give y'all this. So y'all start to get this. And then after 40 years, hard-headed niggas, let me go ahead and collect some sticks and go ahead and do this on the Sabbath. When for 40 years, we've had the example of the Most High being there. Every single sixth day, twice the amount of manna. But now this one, in his wisdom, damn near 40 years. Nah, I'm hungry now. I need to go ahead and get this done. Nigga, no, you need to die. Being selfish. And, oh, selfish part hit me off. I believe your brother Ethan covered in a class, and I can't wait to see it or hear it or for it to be brought out. The buying and selling on the Sabbath, that was the nations coming into Jerusalem, or coming to Jerusalem, and they were selling us our offerings. They were selling us the sacrifices. So instead of us having to bring the sacrifices from our homes, our estates, our plantations, like we were supposed to, being very specific, it had to be brought, a lamb of a year old. A lamb of a year old, whether it was a lamb or a bullock or the turtle doves. Yeah, instead of bringing that, no, the nations would be gathered around Jerusalem or inside Jerusalem. And then they would sell you animals for you to take to the sacrifice. Animals you didn't even raise. Animals that weren't raised on your land, off of your crops, off of the work of your servants. You just went and bought it. That was the buying and selling that it was talking about. Not the feasting that we had on the Sabbath or any other high holy days. But I can't wait. I'm going to let them bring it up. And I'm talking to Demon a little research on that too, but damn it when that does come out. Verse 24. And the children of Israel, Judges chapter 21, verse 24. And the children of Israel departed Ziz at that time, every man to his tribe and to his family. And they went out from Ziz, every man to his inheritance. Verse 25. And in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So this was an example from Judges chapter 17, starting verse 6 through Judges 21 and 25, just bringing a highlight, a magnifying glass, a highlight to just how far we took that every man only did what was right in his own eyes, and just how extreme we as Israelites, we take shit. And knowing that things that are written aforetime are written for our learning, that be damned if we on the same kick. Be damned we're not on this headed towards the same thing. Everybody only doing what was right in their own eyes. And that it was all about cultivating personal wealth, cultivating personal crops, cultivating personal pleasures and luxuries. All right? So with that, let me close this out. And, I did what I did want to do. Cool. We're going to go to this Josephus, y'all. Real quick, in some of the time I have remaining left. No, I don't need that. But where's that? Then where's that? I kind of do want to keep talking so that I don't get cut off. I'm not sure why. It was 120 minutes for the show. But, brothers and sisters, my son did call. Bajan, he got a little something going on. So that did cut into a little bit of today's time. So I got started even more crazy than I usually do. And I should have mentioned in the beginning of the show, which I'm going to start mentioning, fair use. All right, fair use. That none of the songs that you hear or none of the video clips that we use is going towards any profit or going towards anything like that. It's for fair use, just to help bring examples for educational purposes and explanations, okay? All right, let's go to Antiquities of the Jews, Book 5, yeah, Chapter 2, Antiquities of the Jews, Book 5, Chapter 2, and we're going to start, we're going to put it right here, Paragraph 12. All right, last paragraph, and then this will be it for this part of the series, all right, y'all? Antiquities of the Jews, Book 5, Chapter 2, and I'm picking up the paragraph 12, all right? However, the Azimuth were sorry for the calamity they had brought upon the Benjamites and appointed a fast on that account. Y'all, give me 1 second here. Give me 1 second. I need to blow the spot up a little bit as far as this font. Still here. Come on, paragraph 12. Cool. However, the Ashdodites were sorry for the calamity they had brought upon the Benjamites and appointed a fast on that account. Although they supposed those men had suffered justly for their offense against the laws, so they recalled by their ambassadors those 600 which had escaped. These had seated themselves on a certain rock called Rimmon, which was in the wilderness. So the ambassadors lamented not only the disaster that had befallen the Benjamites, but themselves also by the destruction of their kindred, and persuaded them to take it patiently and to come and unite with them, and not so far as in them lay to give the suffrage to the utter destruction of the tribe of Benjamin. And said to them, we give you leave to take the whole land of Benjamin to yourselves, and as much prey as you are able to carry away with you. So these men, with sorrow, confessed that what had been done was according to the decree of the Most High, and had happened for their own wickedness. So this is what the Benjamites came to. Not only did the Israelites that survived, that we feel sorrowful for what took place, that even the Benjamites was like, man, the Most High, this only happened because of our wickedness. There wasn't no victim blaming here, that I'm the victim. And you're damn right. How could y'all wipe me out like this? How could y'all do this? Man, y'all Israelites are some wicked-ass niggas. It didn't go down like that. It was like, man, we've been going on. This was some straight wickedness. And for us to act the way we was acting, that was totally, totally wrong. And the Most High was justified in doing to us what he did. So come on now. That there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, pride goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. How much pride did everybody have? The 12 tribes? How much pride did the Benjamites have? Did we have? That it got to this point? So they weren't laying blame and saying that, yeah, y'all did this, y'all did that. No, everybody was like, no, we did wickedly. We did some wickedness. Wives dead, children dead, grandparents dead, uncles dead, just death. Bloodshed everywhere. On the Benjamin, and then we killed 65,000 Israelites. We killed 65,000 of my brothers. for addressing us about the wickedness that was going on in Gibeah, one of our cities? Nah, we've all been off. All right, reading on. It says, and came down to their own tribe. The Israelites also gave them the 400 virgins of Jabesh Gilead for wives. But as to the remaining 200, they deliberated about it, how they might compass wives enough for them, and that they might have children by them. And whereas they had before the war began taken an oath that no one would give his daughter to wife to a Benjamite, some advised them to have no regard to what they had sworn, because the oath had not been taken advisedly and judiciously, but in a passion, and thought that they should do nothing against the Most High if they were able to save a whole tribe which was in danger of perishing. And that perjury was then a sad and dangerous thing, not when it is done out of necessity, but when it was done with a wicked intention. So they're like, look, the Most High is going to forgive us, man, that we did this, but come on. It's more of that the ends trying to justify the means. That, well, if waiting on this or did this, then we wouldn't have made the vow, and Father, you can't really hold that to us, so we're going to just change the vow. Like, no. And this is a scary thing to the Senate that was not gathered here. It was like, no, hell no. The Most High just did this to us, and that we would come back and turn right back around and perjure ourselves? No. All right, I'm glad, you know, not some sense to us. And that perjury was then a sad and dangerous thing. Not when it's done out of necessity, but when it is done with wicked intention. But when the Senate were frightened at the very name of perjury, a certain person told them that he could show them a way whereby they might procure the Benjamites' wives enough and yet keep the oath. They asked him what his proposal was. He said that three times in a year, when we meet in Shiloh, our wives and our daughters accompany us. Let them, the Benjamites, be allowed to steal away and marry such women as they can catch, while we will neither incite them nor forbid them. And when their parents take it ill and desire us to inflict punishment upon them, we will tell them that they were themselves the cause of what had happened by neglecting to guard their daughters, and that they ought not to be over angry at the Benjamites, since that anger was permitted to rise too high already. That's it. Look, don't get angry, because look what happens when we get angry and what done already happened. Keep it down. So the Israelites were persuaded to follow this advice, and decreed that the Benjamites should be allowed to steal themselves wives. So when the festival was coming on, these 200 Benjamites lay in ambush before the city by two and three together, and waited for the coming of the virgins in the vineyards and other places where they could be concealed. Accordingly, the virgins came along playing and suspected nothing of what was coming upon them, and walked after an unguarded manner. So those that laid scattered in the road rose up and caught hold of them. By this means, these Benjamites got them wives, and fell to agriculture, and took good care to recover their former happy state. And thus was the tribe of the Benjamites after they had been in danger of entirely perishing, saved in the manner aforementioned by the wisdom of the Israelites, and accordingly, it presently flourished and soon increased to be a multitude and came to enjoy all other degrees of happiness. And such was the conclusion of this war. All right, brothers and sisters, this is going to end. Where am I at right here? Where is this? Yeah, I can close this now. This is in this part of the series that we'll be dealing with as far as the every man knew what was right in his own eyes. There was no king in Israel, and everybody did that which was right in his own eyes. And just how extreme and how far we as Israelites take things, as far how far we blow things up. Okay? I want to thank anybody who might have tuned in, whether you called in to the 646-668-2568, or when you check us out on one of our podcasts, our platforms, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio Podcast, Apple iTunes Podcast, or Podcast Addict. Thank you for tuning in. Today is Wednesday. Check us out tomorrow. Most likely I'll be doing the show tomorrow morning. But let me check with the brother Gabar. I know he wanted to get on a couple of these shows, so I'm gonna check with him if we're gonna do it tomorrow night or tomorrow morning. I'll definitely post it and let everybody know. In closing, brothers and sisters, when we examine and we study what the Most High gave us coming out of the land of Egypt, what he gave us in the promised land, remember, and we didn't go with it in class, and maybe I need to go ahead and pull that up, but in dividing out the promised land, that it was so planned out and so divided perfectly that nobody got more than the next man. That in land mass, maybe a person got more acreage. Maybe one tribe got more acreage. But for the amount of acreage that you got, that would match how much produce that land would produce, would manufacture. So say the tribe of Simeon, their territory was only, I'm just throwing numbers out there, 12,000 acres. But then you had the tribe of Judah got 56,000 acres. Well, for what Simeon could produce in that 12,000 acres will be the exact same amount that Judah would produce in that 56,000 acres. That it would produce the exact same amount. So it wouldn't let one tribe got more than the next tribe. Or one tribe got was just got so much land, and that because there was more Judites, or because there was more Ephraimites, because there was more Naphtaliites. That's not how it was divided out. That it was careful measurements. It was careful planning to make sure that everybody got the exact same amount. And again, houses already built, wells digged, vineyards, oliveyards, houses full of all good things. That it wasn't like anybody had to put in any extra work to receive this goodness that the Most High had given the Israelites. We just got, I don't want to say complacent, we just got some of fat cats. It wasn't enough. Got to have more. To where, again, we got into the worship of the other gods of the people around us, the agricultural gods, the fertility gods. We got caught up into a lot of those gods to try and increase our profits. Again, the whole, if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. That's not a brand new saying that came up in the 90s rap and hip-hop era. That we have been on that since the days we came out of Egypt. That if it doesn't make me more money, then it don't make sense. That this war is like there's this unnamed war in our minds and our mentalities of about wisdom versus faith. That it's all about wisdom, and wisdom shall be the stability of times, the strength of salvation. And true, Isaiah 33:6 does say that. That wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of times, the strength of salvation. But the fear of the Lord is his treasure. That the wisdom and knowledge that we're supposed to be applying and using is the fear of the Most High. That's supposed to be our wisdom. Not if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. Because we keep showing that we get very discontented. We get very unappreciative by living that way. And like I said, 2 Timothy 2:4, let me get it real quick. It's actually 1 Timothy, y'all. I'm sorry. 2 Timothy. I'm all over the place. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fighters of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of the Most High, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That these are the warnings. And if we go back and look through our history, if these are in the foretime, meant for our learning, Romans chapter 15, verse 4, that we can see that these type of events have already taken place within the children of Israel from our inception, conception, as Israelites, that we've repeatedly displayed this type of behavior and repeatedly displayed this type of attitude towards the Most High. So this is what I warned, brothers and sisters. I promise you, none of my classes are meant to offend. Even if people can get offended. And even Paul had to cover that in Galatians 4:16. And I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth. Not the truth of my opinions. Look, I'm showing you the scriptures. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of hurt feelings. Brothers and sisters, my feelings get hurt. But when there's things I'm doing wrong, and I got to make the adjustment, yeah, it says correction only grievous to him who forsakes the way. So come back now and realize how much cleansing needs to take place. That before we get to that marriage of the Lamb and the Bride in Revelation chapter 21, there's a lot of cleaning up that's got to be done. And the cleaning up is not just as minor as, okay, what's your nationality? You're Hebrew Israelite. That's it. Know your Hebrew Israelite, wear your fringes, and you're good. There's a lot more cleansing that needs to take place within us. There's a lot more mental cleansing that is really deep-rooted within us that has got to take place. There's a lot more revelations about us that we had to look at, that we had to confront and see. Remember, this is the first thing to do to solve a problem is admit you have one. We got to first be shown what problems and issues we have, what problems and issues the Most High has with us. Not for our destruction, but for us to work on, for us to clean up. And unfortunately, many of us are so damn hard-headed, we'd rather die than change. We really get this mentality. If you're not going to accept me for who I am and what I'm doing, then you don't love me, so there's no reason why I should even try and change. Nobody's perfect. All right. So with that, brothers and sisters, thank you for tuning in and forgive the day. Like I said, I was all over the place. First thing to do with this morning. I have a little medical stuff going on. That wasn't going to happen. Then I switched to this evening, switched it to tomorrow. I was all over the place. And finally I said, you know what, let me go ahead and just teach. Let me go ahead and just get knocked out. And in the midst of that, my son, who I've been worried about, my older son, who I've really been worried about, he called, and we were able to get some things straightened out that was really, really heavy on my spirit, heavy on my mind. Now, I say he's the only thing that's heavy on my mind. I say he's the only thing that's on my mind, but as of right now, yeah, he's been heavy on my mind. So with that, brothers and sisters, I do want to say thank y'all. Please keep tuning in. And give it all you got. Give it all you got. Give it all you got. Ain't no half-stepping. All right, so with that, let me cue up my music here. And Shalom.
Should my Israel, Yahweh our power, Yahweh is